So, as I was going over these readings this past week, I'm thinking, no wonder Father Jim took a vacation. A very wise man. But seriously, I want to look today at not the gospel directly, but I want to go back to the Old Testament, the book of Job, the story of this faithful servant of God who suffered tremendously. Now, because I think that this book, not that it has a lot of answers for us, but it certainly brings up a lot of questions that we have as human beings and allows us, I think, to question our lives, to question God, and to question our suffering. So let's look at, and you're going to hear Job three more Sundays too. I don't know what Father Jim's going to preach on, but anyway, so let's look at Job fairly quickly. This is a man that was very, very faithful. We knew that. A loving man, just a servant of God. And he goes from this riches to rags story, right? Now, we as Americans and we as humans on this earth, we don't want to hear stories of riches to rags, right? We want to hear those rags to riches, right? Of course. We want to hear about the underdog being the champion, right? Even in our sports games, correct? Yeah, we want that underdog to win, unless that underdog is not our team. And then we're rooting for that victor. But anyway, so in Job is his faithful servant, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this perfect life, supposedly, that Job has been living, goes from a perfect life to an ash heap, to these oozing sores, completely, completely alone, losing everything, not just his valuables, his money, and his things like that, but his children, his health. And you begin to question of how a God whom we believe is so good and just could allow this to happen to his faithful servant. It just doesn't make sense. Now, there was a book probably some of you have read by Rabbi Kushner, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? He wrote that book after the death of his daughter. And in that book, he goes to the book of Job, trying to figure out why this happened in his life, and to try to understand about his own faith in God, and to understand God in this world and in his life. How do we ever prepare for that type of suffering? We don't. We can't. One day things look great, and the next day they're dark and dark and dark. So as I said, Job really doesn't give us answers, all the answers to what we're looking for, but Job allows us to ask questions, perhaps that we felt we were afraid to ask, or as faithful people of God, we should not ask. And Job really is also a model of some type of truth in this world. So we know real quick that Job, he has all this stuff, he loses everything, he's sick, his children die, he loses his livestock, his wife wants him to curse God, right? And he doesn't curse God, but he gets pretty close to it. Because what does he say? He said, "I curse the day that I was born." So he doesn't take that step cursing God. But obviously he's pretty distraught in his suffering and his darkness. What if that happened? And perhaps, listen, all of us, if you haven't suffered yet, you will. And if you have suffered, you're probably going to suffer again. Because unless I die suddenly, you know, my kids will suffer, my family, friends. But I won't if I die suddenly. But most of the time it doesn't happen like that. And so most of the time for people, there is going to be suffering. So Job has this darkness come over him. He loses everything. And it doesn't, we don't have in this part of the reading, but his three friends, if you remember, the three friends go visit him. Okay, he's just down and out. He's dying inside and out. And they go to him, which is what they should do. They sit with him in his suffering. In fact, that's what we all should do. In the Jewish culture, it's called Sheva, sitting Sheva. In other words, you go and you sit with someone that's suffering. You accompany them. You're with them in their hurt and their pain. You're not to fix them. But you're to be with them. And that's what God wants the community, the church, the broader community to be, to sit Sheva with those that are suffering. So his friends do that. But what do? Instead of just sitting there being quiet, they have to urge Job, look, what did you do wrong? It had to be something you did. There's got to be a reason for your suffering. You got to be a reason why you're sick now and your kids die and you lose everything you have. And Job keeps on insisting, no. That's not the reason why this has happened. Well, what is the reason? Well, I don't know. You see, don't we want reasons? Don't we want to know why that we hurt or someone we love hurts or dies or something bad happens to them? We want answers. And when we don't get those answers, we are just really not able to continue on as God wants us to continue on. I know that when I was 26, my dad was an Episcopal priest and very faithful to the church and to the people. And because of that, like other professions, doctors and things like that, that he was not home a lot. You know, we have five kids in the family, and he spent a lot of time at church. Very faithful servant. Loving God above all. And one day, when he was just turned 64, my dad died of a sudden heart attack out of the blue. We didn't have a clue. Bam. he was gone. Now, you think I didn't have a lot of questions? Oh, yeah. In fact, I questioned God for about 10 years. Because I knew that there had to be a reason why. Why would a loving God allow a faithful servant to die at, looking back now, I consider a young age? We want reasons why. We don't get them. Most of the time, we don't get them. Another thing is what we do is when we suffer or we see someone else suffer, someone we know and we love, we want to blame. We want to blame either them or someone else for that suffering. There's that whole thing. Well, what did he do? He must have not eaten right. He must have not exercised. He must have smoked. You know, you can go on and on and on. When someone is suffering and we want to blame someone for that suffering, thinking that that will relieve us from our own hurt. And the truth be told, it doesn't. It doesn't relieve us from that hurt or suffering by blaming or finding a reason why. So Job, to me, in the end, the good news is his health is restored and his family, he has a new family and all is well. And he continues to be faithful to the loving God. How do we respond to suffering? How do we respond to each other's suffering or a stranger's suffering? Do we sit with them in Shiva? Do we come together as a community? It just as the Holy Spirit sits with the church, we are called to sit with others in their time of need. But suffering repels us. We don't want to see it. We don't want to be near it. I know that when I was working full time and did lots and lots and lots of visitations to hospitals and homes and places, and a lot of times people would be alone because people, their family or friends wouldn't come and visit. I know when my husband was so ill and he was in the hospital many times and I was working full time and the congregation were wonderful and they were so supportive. But even some of my closest friends and family members, brother and sister, they wouldn't come to the hospital. And they would call me and say, I just can't see Mike that way. It just is too painful for me. And I'm like, really? Right? You want to know pain, you know. But I've done the same thing. It's hard. It's hard to sit and be with others when they are suffering. Because we never know, right? What to say, what to do, what not to say. The truth is, you don't have to do any of that. You just have to sit. As I've always been told, it's the ministry of presence. We're called as a community. We're not called as individuals. We're called as a community to sit in Shiva with each other. Day after day after day. There is so much suffering. You know, just turn on the TV. Turn on the TV to any channel of news, night or day, and you're going to hear about some suffering all over the world, not just in our own backyard. But we want answers, but we're not going to get them. We're not going to get them most of the time. But what does God want, more importantly? What did God want and expect from Job? God knew that Job was God's faithful servant. And the good news out of Job for me, the good news is that God trusted Job in his belief and in his faith. And he trusted Job that in the midst of all his pain and in the midst of all his suffering and in the midst of all his doubts and his questions, that Job would continue to trust God, even though he didn't have the answers. And that's what I believe God does for us. That the God of the universe, the God who created you and I and every other creature on this earth, trusts you, believes in you, that in the time of your suffering, that you will continue to trust God. It's incredible. It's an incredible gift that will get us all through the suffering. Not just as individuals, but as a community. So this story it's about riches to rags and then back to riches again. But it really is a story about love. About God's love. In you and in me and the entire universe. Know that in your suffering, that God has not abandoned you and never will. That God's love is steadfast, as it says, forever and ever and ever. And no matter how many questions you have, God is big enough to listen. And God is faithful enough to love. A God of grace, a God of mercy. May we be those servants to see that, to know that, and to trust the God who created us. Amen.
Amen.